Welcome to Hope Central's latest podcast. Please check out our website, hopecentral.org.au, after this message for any further information. We hope you enjoy today's message.
I'm really excited to be here this morning, and I'm not a very emotional person. A year or so ago, my daughter said to Anne, my wife, she said, well, if I tell Dad something, he doesn't seem to get that excited. And Anne said, yeah, he was excited about that. He raised his eyebrows. And so I'm very excited this morning to bring this message because I've had this message on my heart for about 3 or 4 months, and it's a prophetic word for Gawler. And when they asked me to speak and they said, could you speak at Gawler? They said, oh, yes, great, because I've got this word and I want to share it with you this morning. And essentially, my whole message this morning is a prophetic word for the church in Gawler. So it's a word for you as individuals, but it's a prophetic word for the church in Gawler. And prophecy really intrigues me because I love the way God is outside of time and he can come in one spot and look at what's going on and can see what's happening in the future and then tell us about it. And then when we get there, it authenticates his word. And it has this aspect of having often a near-far approach where you see prophecies in the Bible where they're talking about something that's just about to happen, but then it's also about something that's going to happen a long, long time in the future as well. And I come across this really cool one lately. I'm really excited about this because I raised my eyebrows, didn't I? giving it away. You know the bits that you don't like reading in the Bible, like so Adam had a son whose name was Seth, and then Seth had a son whose name, and it goes on, and my wife's just fallen asleep, right? Enosh, then Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and then Noah, right? Well, you go, well, that's all very nice, but all of those names had a meaning, and they had a prophetic meaning, and it's amazing when you actually read the meaning of them, because this is before David, this is before the judges, the kings. This is before Moses. This is before Abraham. This is back in the time before the flood of Noah. And God's revealing his plan, because when I read you what the names are, it's really amazing. It's actually the gospel. It's God's plan of salvation. Adam we know is man, and Seth was his name meant appointed. And as we read it, it actually reads out as man is appointed mortal sorrow. But the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing comfort and rest. Noah's name meant comfort and rest. And it outlined the whole plan of salvation of God right back in there. And it's this amazing thing where we're sitting here at this time on this mountain peak. He gives this prophecy. And when we're right in the distance, further back, looking back, you look and go, God knew that right back then when he gave it. And it authenticates what he was talking about. It authenticates his word. There's another really cool one where the prophet Ezekiel has been taken off to Babylon as a young man, and he gets this vision of the temple being rebuilt. And it is this vision of the next mountain in the distance a little bit of when the temple gets rebuilt. But it's also a vision of this thing that he's never heard of, but Jesus is showing him a picture of the church, which is us, hundreds and hundreds of years later. And it's this other mountain peak that we see. And then we look back and go, wow, that really authenticates God's word. When Anne and I first got married, we went overseas and we lived in the UK for a fair while. And while we were there, we got to go over to Europe. And we met a friend in Europe and went skiing in Austria. And the ski fields there are massive. Like, I've been to Falls Creek and up to Buller and stuff. But over in Europe, they just go on for miles and miles and miles. And my friend and I one day did a tour with a ski guide. And you can put ski guide, say, Holy Spirit, okay, for the sake of this. Then the ski guide goes, we're going to go today on this tour. We're going to catch the chairlift up, ski down, go on another chairlift, ski down, and we're not going to go down the same run twice. We're going to keep going and keep going. We're going to have to stop for lunch somewhere along the way. We're going to keep going, keep going, keep going, and we're going to have to catch a bus at the end of the day. And we did that, and we got to the end, and I looked back. It was a 45-minute bus ride to get back to where we'd come from. And I looked back, I've compared it, looking in Adelaide, it'd be like being up at Tea Tree Gully and ending up down at Mount Lofty. And it's like just all that way. But I look back and go, oh, that's where we came from. And that's where we went, just as the guide said we would. It authenticated his word. And what you do with prophecy is you don't have to make it happen. You just shelve it and just let it unfold. And you see that God was in it all the time. So I've got this prophetic word for you. I'm really excited about it. But before I tell it to you, I want to show you this picture. This was our house for several years. And in particular, it's kind of dry. It was up country, up the hills. Sometimes, because I was a little bit OCD, I would check the rain gauge every single day and record it. And we got 230 millimetres of rain total one day. I mean, some places of Queensland get that in an hour. But the whole time we were there, see this tree here, this peppercorn tree, this big, massive peppercorn tree. When we moved in, it was this big. And the next year it was this big. And the next year it was this big. And I was going around the property with my watering can, water, trying to keep things alive as best I possibly could. And it was just so dry and like parched and the soil was no good. But this tree, this tree kept growing every year. It just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Josh and Belinda were around once with an extended chainsaw helping us cut it down. It kept just growing bigger and bigger. It had to be. It had to have roots in water, right? It had to. And I was constantly fixing leaks on the place. I'd be down in the shed and the pump would come on for a couple of seconds and you go, oh, there's a leak somewhere. Something's dripping. And then I start looking everywhere around the property and looking for something that was a little bit greener than it should be or something some way. But this one, I knew where the pipes went. I checked it all out. There was no leaks. There was nothing. But it kept growing and it kept growing. And it kept growing. And how could it grow? How could it keep growing like that? So there was no problem, but in the end, I just couldn't help myself. I had to find out. So I just started digging and digging all along where the roots were. And you know, I finally found that there was a PVC water pipe, the down pipe that went from there down to the water tanks. And the roots had just split the pipe enough to create a little bit of a split that wasn't under any pressure, but just when the header tanks got full enough, just leak out water. And this little tree was going, beautiful, thank you very much. I've just got water all year round. I'm going to keep growing and keep growing and keep growing. I felt satisfied that I found out and I just left it there. But this is the prophetic word I want to give you. And it's a word, it's actually a scripture from Isaiah. And I want to speak this over you. I want to speak this over you guys as individuals and as the church here. Isaiah 58:11. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Isn't that an awesome description of life? To have that where you just always feel like you're growing, that you're giving life. Have you met those people that just always seem to exude life, that attract life, that seem to have something from within them that and the world seems bigger, that you feel better afterwards, that the sort of the reflection of when even I look at it with Jesus's life, that everybody he met, they left better, more challenged, healed, more whole. I love the way he answered questions that wasn't necessarily even the questions that they verbally expressed, but was the question that was in their heart. And he somehow seemed to know. And this is a picture of not a difficult life where it's hard. We look around and the sun-scorched land, We know in Australia what it's like to have dry land. It's hard. Having to get enough water for things to grow. But also, we look around and there's so many people, I find, that are getting by, but maybe not with huge purpose in their life, that are getting by but starting to struggle, or finding that things get really dry, or running into difficulties with relationships or finance. You know, you don't have to look very far. And this is where I find the church is just so beautiful, this place of refreshing and like a well that springs up. And we are that well that representing Christ. It's his promises that he is with us always, that he's with us continually. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll satisfy our needs and strengthen your frame, or another version says strengthen your bones. Just talking about healing, and he is our healer. I had a really bad back for up to 18 months ago. Like, I couldn't get out of bed, or I could get out. I managed to get out of bed, but you'd just lie there going, how am I going to get out of bed? This hurts too much. I couldn't lift anything at work, and everyone was brilliant, like helping me and lifting animals and putting bandages on down low and all that sort of stuff. And occasionally they still do it. And like, don't lift that. And I go, no, I'm okay now. It's all right. And some of the new staff, we said, even this week, they're going, oh, what's wrong with your back? And I go, oh, no, I had a back problem. And we got into the conversation. They go, well, what happened? How'd you fix it? And I said, I went down to prayer at church every opportunity I got. And God's healed that. And last year, they've been fantastic. So I really believe that that's the promise of God, to strengthen our frame, to strengthen our bones, that he is our healing God, and I'm so grateful for that. So that's something that if we get the opportunity, if anyone needs prayer, we'll pray for you, just continually to keep praying that he'll strengthen your bones, because he is a healing God, that he'll bring life. This is what I love our gardens to look like. I just find, you know, that just invites me to walk down that path. I just want to go down there. It just looks cool and green and so lush and so beautiful. And I want our church to look like that, where people go, I want to go in there. That's the place I want to be in there, because there's something beautiful in there. It's refreshing. It's cool. There's obviously life in there. And that's what I want to speak over the church in Gawler. The interesting thing about Isaiah 58:11 is that Jesus actually quoted it. Jesus quoted it in a really famous passage, and you're going to know, you as soon as I show you, you're going to know what it is. He's come to the Feast of Tabernacles, and he's in Jerusalem, and he stands up on the last and greatest day of the festival. On the seventh day, he stands up, and he says in a loud voice. Now, when you read the Bible, I love to like picture yourself in there, like really think about what's going on and why. It just transforms everything. It's like, just love, think you like they're real people. They're real in, it could have been you and me, different time, and just think what might be going on. So I'm always like, what was going on here? Well, they reckon it was probably early in the morning at this stage, because during the festival, every morning there was a little procedure that they did, ceremony that the priest performed, and they went and got some water from the pool of Siloam, which was further down south, the south end of the city, and they'd take that water and they'd take it up to the temple, and they'd pour it every morning on the horns of the altar in the temple, and that would run down and it would run out some channels, and they'd watch it, the water run down. Now normally the altar would have the sacrifices performed on it, and so blood would be running down. So this time each morning, blood and water would flow down the channels. So that's happening when Jesus stands up and he says in a loud voice, is there any other way? Not looking at any people in particular. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Where does the Scripture say that? In Isaiah 58:11, he's quoting it. And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. That water ran out of the temple down the channels, and it eventually made its way down to the east to the Kidron Valley, which sort of ran north-south. Keep that in mind. But for us as individuals, the Holy Spirit is a wellspring of life. And we need to stay connected and keep being refreshed all the time. The contrast from that property where that one peppercorn tree had managed to come in to find the secret of staying connected, and me running around trying to water all these little bits that sometimes I could keep things alive and sometimes I just couldn't. And we end up feeling like that, where we have had times of refreshing, we've had times of water, but if it's not fresh, we get dry. I wonder who he's talking to. Whoever's thirsty. Who's not thirsty? The person who's just had a drink. But how long is it going to take until we're thirsty again? He's really talking to all of us here. He goes, anyone come to me. Everyone come to me. Because you're going to get thirsty at some point. And stay in me and stay refreshed. Our place is different. We moved. And we're now in this little place, and it's a lot easier to provide a lot more water. Interestingly enough, I let Anne choose most of the plants, and she chose some really lovely plants that were all tropical, basically looking like barley. And we did point out that we live in the driest state in the driest continent. But the difference here is that I've managed to put a watering system in there, and all of those plants just get water whenever they need, as easy as they can, and they're always wet. And even from since I've taken this photo, those plants have just gone gangbusters and are just all grown, and it's just lush and beautiful. And it's having that source, being connected, just constantly being in the Holy Spirit is the thing that brings us life, that makes us like that wellspring. Really interesting is, for those of you who were in the prayer meeting this morning, is that Pete mentioned a prophecy or a word that somebody had given him, and I haven't been talking to them and I don't know who they are, about the church up here in Gawler being a patch of green grass, and that as you water it and water it, it's going to continue to grow and spread out and grow. And it's very much in line with that scripture. More interestingly is, see the grass there? That started as a little patch when we moved in that was just growing, and I just watered it and watered it and watered it, and I never bought that grass. That literally spread out and grew, and that's now this beautiful lush green lawn. So there's a really confirmation of the word for the church here in Gawler. So the river is for you, but it is not just for you. And God wants us to have a wellspring of life, a river flowing out of us, creating that garden that people just want to come into. And there's this passage in Ezekiel that I mentioned at the start, Ezekiel having this vision. And I want to have a little look at it. Ezekiel says that the man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. I love detail, not sure what that means. It gets confusing, but stay with me. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. So here's Ezekiel, and he's got this vision. And I like, as I said, like putting myself into the Bible, like what's going on here? What is going on here about, like, I can... He's on this mountaintop looking out over the temple. He's got this, and there's this guy there. And for me, I was going, wow, first of all, I'm pretty freaked out by this guy that's taken me up to this mountain and overseeing the temple. But then I've got questions. Like, who is this guy? Who's this guy? The man. Who is the man? Well, we get a clue. I'll go back to a few chapters earlier when he starts the vision. In the 25th year of our exile at the beginning of the year, on the 10th of the month, in the 14th year after the fall of the city, on the very day that the hand of the Lord was on me and he took me there. So this is the start of the vision. In visions of God, he took me to the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain on whose south side were some buildings that looked like a city. He took me there and I saw a man whose appearance was like bronze. He was standing in the gateway with a linen cord and a measuring rod in his hand. The linen cord is also referred to as a wick they use for candles. And the measuring rod was also elsewhere talked about as a reed or a flax that they would have, a big an ancient bamboo. Now, who is this man? Well, scriptures tell us, give us allusion as to who this man is, because in Isaiah 42 we have this passage that we know is referring to what we call the suffering servant, who is the type of Jesus. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. So we have this picture that Ezekiel is being shown by Jesus, this picture of the church. Does that make sense? And we go back to Ezekiel 47. We'll carry on the story here. So Jesus is like, I'm going to show you this. Just have a look at this. Look, I'll even make some measurements. Look how big this is. This is incredible. He measured off another 1,000 cubits. This is the river now. This is the trickle of water that's come, that started in the temple. This is the little bit that's then turned into a bigger stream and now a river. And now he's measuring it off and he goes, there's another 1,000 cubits. And he led me through water that was now knee deep. And he measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. And he measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. If we stand on that mountain, that first picture, in the future of what we are now, and we look back on 2,000 years of history, we see Jesus' blood and water being shed and flowing and a little trickle coming and some apostles starting to form a church and people getting saved and 3,000 people in one day under Peter's preaching, and then it's spreading out into the Gentile nations and this trickle becoming a stream and a wide and a river that nobody can cross, that now in the 21st century we have the church right across the world just bringing life to places everywhere, and we're a part of that, and I find that really, really exciting. I'm going to raise my eyebrows in a minute. So exciting. You're a part of that. We're a part of that. But so the river that comes from within us is for you. That river is for you, but it's not just for you. I love this bit. He said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down. So it goes out into the Kidron Valley, but then it goes down into the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea. Is anyone else as excited as I am about that? Because this shouldn't happen. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. That's amazing water. That water should just become half salty or marshy. But instead, this water makes the salty water fresh, and swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. That's so exciting. I love that way Jesus flips everything around, because prior to Jesus, the whole way of religious thinking was that to stay holy, you had to stay clean and you had to be separate and you had to stay away from others that could make you unclean and contaminate you. And sometimes that thinking's even got into recent, you know, religious organizations and so on, that we stay out of the world. But Jesus flipped it and said, what I touch becomes clean. I love the story of the woman with the issue of blood who pushed through the crowd and touched Jesus' hem, touched the garment, his robe, that spoke of his authority and the name of God and the word of God, understanding in her Jewish mind that maybe if she could touch the wings of his garment, she might be healed. And everyone else there said that she would make him unclean. But what happened? Power went out from him. He made her clean, and he reversed everything. So when the river meets the salty water, there it becomes fresh. And there will be large numbers of fish, because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Insert fish, swap for people. Jesus called his disciples and said, I'll make you fishers of men. There will be large numbers of people, because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En Gedi to En Eglim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. The river is for you, but it's not just for you. I just love tropical paradises. Anyone wants to come to New Guinea with us? It's not a whole advertising for this. From a little patch of green grass, from a little patch that might be a bit dry and crispy, to for people staying close to the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit well up and bring life to all those around, we can end up with beautiful, beautiful gardens. I want to just finish off. I want to add just the next verse of this scripture in Isaiah for you guys. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And I want to add this little bit, because then your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. As part of my word for you guys is that I saw the church not only being a place of refreshing and of life and of healing and place where people feel welcome and invited in and finding family, but actually making it a safe place of building up walls. These aren't walls to keep people out, but these are walls to repair the damage of people's lives and create a safe place where people play safely, enjoy relationships, can enjoy prosperity and fullness of life without all the work of the enemy from outside coming and stealing from them. Does that make sense? So that's great. That's my prophetic word for you guys. And what I'm looking forward to is standing on the mountain next year and the year after that, in 5 and 10 years' time, and looking back and seeing the Gawler and the people have individually had that wellspring of life coming from them, but also that the whole church has grown and has shed life into the community. There's been fishers of men that has just raised up people to be closer to God and in the safe place. So I'm going to raise my eyebrows. It feels so good to get that off my chest. 3 or 4 months, I've just been so excited at this word. I just feel honestly, that's a word for the church here, and I just want to seal that. I think maybe if we stand, and I'd just like to finish and seal that in prayer, and then we'll go from there. Oh, Lord, I thank you for authenticating your word time and time again through Scripture and through the prophetic gift. And Lord, I thank you for this group of people, and I speak these words over them, and also those who are away, who are part of the tribe here, part of our congregation. For those, Lord, we include them as the word goes out, that you would put your spirit upon them. Lord, I pray for a fresh impartation. I pray, Lord, that this year will be a time for everyone to really stay closer to you and to experience that refreshing of not just continually knowing that you're with them and continually being filled and continually being lifted up. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit and the work that you're doing. We say this year, Lord, be welcome, Holy Spirit, in this place. Just as Galatians 5:25 says, allow us to have make every effort to keep in step with your spirit and to stay really connected and to be listening to you all the time. And so I seal that, Lord. I thank you for the word you've given me, but I thank you more for the encouraging word over your church, and even more that you are working, just as we sang before, that you are working, you're continually working, and that we're really looking forward to this year and all that you have in store. Pray for the leaders and for Pete and Rhonda, that you would strengthen them, the leadership group, as they continue to grow and come together, that you would strengthen them, and that above all, we just continually have your life flowing out from them. And I just seal that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you feel God has spoken to you through this series, or if you have any prayer requests, please email us through our website, hopecentral.org.au.